Well, we're going to pray for our country. Amen. And I still don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if there's something yet else that can be done. I know President Trump is a fighter. He doesn't just lay down and let people take advantage of him. He's never done that. And so I don't know what is in store for our country. I know that they tried to vote again in Georgia yesterday, and it's stupid to keep doing the same thing over again and expect different results. It's insanity. So they cheated in the presidential election. They probably cheated on that one yesterday. But as it'll turn out, then there will be an even Steven in the Senate, which puts the vice president, which will probably be Kamala Harris, as the deciding vote on a lot of things that happen in the Senate. And people, it's not on the sunshiny days that we call to God the most. It's the rainy days that we cry unto God to the most. Amen. And we are going to see some very, in fact, Joe Biden said it himself. It's about the only lucid sentence he said. It's going to be a dark winter. And it already has been. We went through this when Obama was elected the first time, and then when Obama was elected again. I remember waking up the next day saying to myself, this obviously isn't the country I thought it was. Well, in one way I was wrong, because more than likely the same cheating mechanism that took place this year took place in 2012 when Obama ran the second time. More than likely, there's no doubt. Those machines are designed to cheat votes. No doubt in our mind about it. So in that sense, yes. But I do believe that there are still some people who love this country who will stand up and fight for this country. And you have to understand that most of these people are lost. They are as lost as can be. But they will help us continue to be able to preach the gospel the way God leads us to preach the gospel. They'll stand up for us. It wasn't all King James Baptist people that got off on Omaha Beach and fought the Germans, was it? No, it was in some cases, a bunch of lost men who smoked their last cigarette, got off of that ship, and got blown up by German bullets. And they are suffering eternity in hell for the life that they lived, but they fought for our country. Unfortunately, that's not how God decides who goes to heaven. Are you brave enough in battle? It's, do you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? And so there's a lot of things to pray for, a lot of things to pray about. I appreciate all the emails that I got today concerning the Pastor Mike Online that I did yesterday, because it was apparent that there is a dark cloud over a lot of people's lives because of the COVID things that are going on and the fear that comes as a result of what might happen, what could happen, what is planned, how all of this could turn out. Is there something worse that's going to come down the road? And it could very, very likely end up being that way. And in fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to mind the Lord in something. And as we start tonight, I've got John chapter 2 up on the screen. But I want you to take your Bible, turn to Leviticus, if you would. Leviticus. I'm just going to mind the Lord tonight. I told you to read this chapter. And think about it. Leviticus 26. Israel is always to be a picture to us who live in whatever generation we live in as how God deals with a nation that either loves him or that despises him and despises his word. In Leviticus chapter 26, where do we want to pick it up? Yeah, let's pick it up verse 1. God said, you shall make no idols nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Every Catholic church in this country has one of those. Even many Lutheran churches, maybe some Methodist, maybe some Presbyterian or Episcopalian, which is the American branch of the Church of England, they might have them there. We used to go down to the Passion Play in Eureka Springs. Well, not too far from there is what's called Christ of the Ozarks. And it's a huge, big statue of Jesus that kind of looks like the Christ of the Andes in Brazil. And we used to go see that. And I never really thought much about it, but that basically is an illegal image of Christ. It was an idol that was built by a Catholic family that funded the Passion Play there in Eureka Springs. And I believe that they built that big Christ statue out there. And God said, don't do that. So we have that literally all over this country. Verse 2, you shall keep my Sabbaths and revere my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Verse 3, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. This is what God said to a nation that would honor him and honor his commandments. And he said in verse 5, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage. The vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. In other words, you're going to gather in enough crops that you'll have not only enough to eat for a year, but you'll have enough seed to sow for the next year. You'll bring in enough that will carry ye through to the next harvest season. That's what he's saying here. Your threshing, verse 5, shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land. And I can tell you what is absent right now in this country is peace. There is no peace in this land anywhere. I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land. And I don't believe he's just talking about mountain lions and cougars and lynxes and things like that, bears. I think he's talking about devils. He said, I will rid evil beasts out of the land, and neither shall the sword go through your land. But I believe that God is bringing a sword to our country. Verse 7, ye shall chase your enemies. They shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Did God ever do anything like that? Sure he did. He picked Gideon's 300. Gideon, you got way too many people in your army. I'm going to whittle it down. We're going to get it down to about 300 guys. That's all you'll need, because I'll fight the fight for you. And people, I'm telling you, with God, God doesn't require that most of the country be saved, born again Christians before he'll do something. He doesn't need that many. He needs a few. 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Verse 9, for I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. That means that when they prayed to God, they didn't say, a woman. Did you hear that? A chaplain in front of the United States Congress praying, and he said, amen and a woman. That's an abomination. Now, that makes us mad. I personally can't do anything about it except tell God about it. And I guarantee you, that man that prayed that prayer, he's going to get what's coming to him from the only one who can do it. If the whole government of the United States, from the federal government on down to all the state governments, if China has bought out all of these congressmen, all these judges, all these governors, if China and the CIA and whatever enemy that hates us, if they've got these sleazy politicians, if they've got dirty pictures on every one of them, and the whole country's corrupt, God's still God. God said, I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Verse 13, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondman. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. Now he's going to change, though. He's going to say it different in verse 14. But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror. Terror. What's the purpose of a terrorist organization? What's their purpose? What are they trying to do? To bring about a political change by using fear. Blowing up buildings or mass shootings or the threat of releasing biological agents on a people, that if you don't do what we say, then we're going to destroy your towns, we're going to destroy your people, we're going to blow up your buildings, and so on. And let me say this, this is not easy for us, especially the young people. I hate saying things like this in front of them, because when I was a young person here and preachers would preach on things like this, I'd get scared. I'd get very, very frightened. But I'm going to say this. You can't terrorize people who aren't afraid to die. You can't terrorize God's people. You can't use threats against us. You can't use blackmail. You can't use anything against us, because we know that if you take our lives or in any way hurt us, God's going to remember it. God's going to bless us, and God's going to get you. Mark it down. But he said, I will appoint over you a terror. And then he said, a consumption. What is a consumption? Huh? Like maybe a cancer? It's an old-fashioned term. Well, he's got the consumption. It's like a disease. The burning ague. What is an ague? Anybody know? Where's your phones? You should Google these. It's a fever. Burning ague is a fever. In fact, that's what the burning is. Yeah, it makes sense now, doesn't it? It's a burning ague. It's a high fever. That shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And I can tell you that when I was at my sickest point with the COVID virus, I was afraid I was going to die. And then, after that, it was a different fear in me. It was a fear that said, this is not going to go away for a while. I can't continue feeling this way. I don't want to continue feeling this way. Because it's affecting me emotionally. Because I felt so bad and so sick. I didn't want to keep feeling that way again. But he said, it will cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain for your enemies. China shall eat it. God said, I will set my face against you. Ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. See, this is not God pouring out wrath upon Israel. Wrath is God's already judged him and said, I'm done with you, and I'm going to do this, and it's going to kill you. This is judgment under repentance. This is God giving Israel a whooping, a spanking, so that they will say, God, have mercy on us and forgive us. And you would think, with all that the churches have been through in the year 2020, that would draw them closer to God. Instead, what you heard from some of the pastors is, you know, it's probably good that they forced us into not having church service so that we could get alone with God and worship Him. Baloney! Baloney to that! That's a preacher that's just too lazy. He said, I'll set my face against you in verse 17. And ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, your earth as brass. Matthew, if it didn't rain anymore, what would happen to all that land up in Iowa, Kansas, and Nebraska? There's so much corn and soybeans grown in this country. It staggers my mind to see the number of fields that are just full of corn and soybeans. I mean, it's just staggering the amount of wealth that's in that land, and God could kill it all in one season. All you have to do is make it not rain, dry up all the wells. God knows how to do that, by the way. And he said, verse 20, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. And I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children. I haven't quite concluded this yet. But there's a guy I want you to, if you've not heard of him, I want you to check him out. His name is David Paulides, Paulides. He's got some documentary films out. Missing 411 is the first one he made. Missing 411, The Hunted. And then he's got a YouTube channel. And he talks about these people that just disappear. And I mean, they're not being taken and kidnapped by people. They just disappear in state parks all over the country. And he's written several books on it, and he's given several illustrations. And he said the way that these, especially the children, the first documentary he did, Missing 411, was primarily about children. And he said they just disappeared. Literally, within 10 to 15 yards of someone who had just turned their back. One family in particular was way out at a state park, at a campsite, nobody around. And he was like 2 years old, and he was following his mom and dad to a fishing hole. They hadn't walked 30 yards away from the campsite, but they told the boy to go back to sit with his grandpa. The boy turned around to walk back, and between that 30-yard walk, which is wide open, he disappeared forever. He is gone. And you look at your Bible. Verse 22, I will send wild beasts among you which shall rob you of your children. And when I see wild beasts in the Bible, I don't just automatically think of lions and hyenas. I think of devils. Those kind of beasts. Those are the really scary ones to me. They will rob you of your children and destroy your cattle. You know how Linda Moulton Howe got interested in UFOs? She was given an assignment. She was a reporter, and she was given an assignment in a certain county because all of a sudden these cattle had been mutilated, every molecule of blood drained from their bodies, laser-like cuts in them where literally the flesh wasn't cut. It looked like the molecules between the flesh had just been separated. And she investigated, I don't know how many of these, and she talked to deputy sheriffs and sheriffs, and they said, "This ain't nothing. We know what an animal attack looks like. We know what this looks like. This is none of that." She started investigating that, and to this day does not have an answer to these cattle mutilations and why every ounce of blood is drained from them, so that in the place where they're left dead, there's no blood on the grass or the ground anywhere. Now, you think I'm weird? I'm telling you, your Bible's trying to tell you that there are supernatural things happening. He said, I'll send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you. What is a pestilence? Disease. A virus is a pestilence. A bacteria is a pestilence. A pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight. And ye shall eat and not be satisfied. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I will chastise you 7 times for your sins. And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. You think America's not heading that direction? We are. You know, there was hope by preachers who were preaching after September 11, 2001, that maybe this will get America's attention. Maybe we'll repent as a nation for all the sins that we have committed. Nobody repented of nothing. It didn't change anybody. In fact, one of the preachers that said that came out 5 days later and apologized for it, Jerry Falwell. So there's a lot in this Bible that I think speaks to this nation, that these things are happening by the hand of God to cause a nation that once knew how to pray to get back to praying to God, but they won't do it. They won't do it. He said in verse 30, I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And now remember that. I'm working on a series in the Watchman broadcast. I recorded another one today about the abomination that makes desolation. And you look at verse 31, and I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries into desolation. You know what that means? Nobody's going to dwell there. God is not going to dwell in your sanctuaries. They're going to be desolate of God. And when they're desolate of God, what moves in? Devils, dragons. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. You can burn incense all you want to and pray all your little pre-printed prayers. And repeat them over and over again. And God says, I won't hear a word of them. And I will bring the land into desolation. Verse 32, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen and will draw out a sword after you. And your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbath as long as it lieth desolate. And ye be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath. I mean, it just on and on and on and on. God warns us. Turn to Deuteronomy 28. He warns us that if we don't start living for Him and start obeying His commandments and fearing and reverencing His name and honoring Him, I'll give this church a compliment. There was a family that visited us Sunday, and after the service, I told them, I said, forgive me because I'm real bad at remembering people's names, so don't be offended if I don't learn your name right away. They reminded me again, and I said, how did you hear about us? You've been watching us online? She said, no, but we were going to a church. She mentioned the church. I'd never heard of it. But she said, we've been there 6 years and found out that we were just living in utter deception. And so we started researching churches in our area, and we found this one. And it apparently, this church seems to be something that family agrees with and likes. And I just want to commend this church for being that way. We're holding on to the book. Okay? Not trying to put on a show every Sunday. Not trying to impress people by how professional we are. we're just going to preach this book, believe it, give scripture, not be afraid to preach certain things. And apparently that was what was had attracted them to this place. And I look for them to come back again. Deuteronomy 28. God said in verse 15, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city." Who wants to move to Chicago? Anybody?
Absolutely not.
Anybody want to move to Chicago, downtown Chicago? Light-footed Lori. Lori Lightloafers. You can move down there and probably get some real estate really cheap. And you may not get shot for moving there. Our cities are a curse. Seattle, Portland, Chicago, Washington, D.C., you name it, our cities have become a curse. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Now, we haven't seen that yet. But how easy would it be? For God, could God starve this nation literally to death in 1 year? Absolutely. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. That's your children. When people see children as a curse rather than a blessing, that's when they go to the abortion mill and get that baby cut out of them and cut up in pieces and then sold, its parts sold, so that they can make tens of thousands of dollars out of it. This is it's a very, very profitable business. So not only are they getting funded by the federal government, they then get paid again for selling the fetal body parts. That's a very lucrative. So what is the root of this evil? The love of money, just like our beloved King James Bible says. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. And we are seeing the sickness of sin in our congressional hall. There is no doubt in my mind that most senators, representatives, judges, governors, mayors in this country, that somebody has dirty pictures on them and will use them. Will use them. There's no doubt in my mind that Justice Roberts is compromised somehow, some way. They've got something on him and he will not dare go against them. Will not dare go against them. That's just the fear of man bringeth a snare, the Bible says. And we have judges who are afraid of the faces of men. And why are they afraid of the faces of men? Because of their own sins. And I guarantee you run for some congressional office and when somebody higher up is going to get you hooked in with all of the lust that you could ever want and say, we're going to give it all to you. You're going to get away with all of it. I mean, so far, out of all the people that we know who were perverts going to Epstein Island, how many of them have been tried and convicted over it? Zero. And John Roberts' name is on that flight list. That's what happens. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land and the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand to do, unto do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee. A lady called me today, was asking me about the COVID virus. And I said, ma'am, let me tell you something. Everything that I've said about that virus so far has been wrong. I said way back in March that this would be over by summer. It wasn't. And I said, this would be over after the election. It ain't. And I said a bunch of other things too. And I didn't think I would ever catch it. And I caught it. And I guarantee you that was plan A. And plan B is going to be enacted. They probably have something worse than COVID to drive everything home, to force us under totalitarian government just to keep us from doing what we want to do as Americans and to keep us from doing what we want to do as a church. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword and with the blasting and with mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy land shall be brass. The earth that is under thee shall be iron. In other words, God's going to dry it all up. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come upon thee until thou be destroyed. And the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them and shalt be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. Is it possible? Would it be possible that God would judge this nation so harshly that he would take the people of America and remove them out of our own country and send us off to other countries to live under their rule? He did it with Israel. He did it with Israel. And who are we? Who are we if we act and live the same way that Israel did? God will do exactly that to this nation. Verse 27. The Lord shall smite thee with the botch of Egypt and with emerods. You know what is an emerod? Anybody know? A hemorrhoid. It is a bloody boil that will cause you to bleed out. God afflicted the Philistines with hemorrhoids when they stole the Ark of the Covenant. And it was so bad, they were bleeding so bad, and it wouldn't go away and it wouldn't stop, that they said, we got to get rid of this ark. And so they made golden hemorrhoids. That's what they did. They cast golden hemorrhoids and sent them back as a gift with the. That's what they did. Verse 27, the Lord shall smite thee with the botch of Egypt, with the emerods, with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. That's going on right now everywhere. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and thou shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Who in Iowa, Matthew, who owns those crops?
A lot of big manufacturers.
Yeah, because they can't. Those farmers who plant that genetically modified corn can't take part of the corn and sow it again next year. It's illegal for them to do that. Beside that, they've designed the corn so that it won't be planted. They have to buy a whole new sack of seed, and it didn't used to be that way. So they don't even own their own crops. Look at verse 32. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. And thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. That's two places now in the Bible where God's told them their children are going to be taken away from them. Two places in the Bible. And I could read on and on and on and on through Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus chapter 26. These are things that God says to a nation. Remember, Israel, these things are written for us, for our learning and for our admonition, for us to not make the mistakes that Israel made, but we're making them. God wrote what he wrote about Sodom and Gomorrah and destroyed them in such a way so that he would say to the world, this is what I will do to any nation, any land who decides to live the way Sodom and Gomorrah lived. They were to be a perpetual notification, a warning to the entire world, do not live the way the Sodomites lived. And yet that is exactly how it is now in every country in the world. Well, I won't say every country. At least Kenya still outlaws sodomy and sodomite relationships. They are still outlawed in Kenya. And the people of Kenya won't put up with them either. They won't put up with it. Amen to that. I think God will bless them. We may all have to move to Kenya. Amen. I know the guys in Kenya would like for me to do that. But anyway, I had not planned on doing this tonight, but I don't know. God just said, might give them this and give them this. And apparently this is what we can look forward to. Now, remember, as God pours out judgment to the world, he protects his people. Now, he didn't say it was going to be easy, but he said he'd protect them. So now's not the time to be thinking about, well, maybe I'll get back into the old sins I used to do. Maybe now's the time to do. I'm telling you, now's not the time to think about doing that. Now's the time to sober up in your mind and say, something's fixing to slam down in this nation. Because it is about to get worse for the next 4 years. We're going to see so much corruption, so much wickedness flaunted, so much clamping down on free speech, especially gospel, Bible speech. They're going to see the clamping down of it. It's already been shown that that's what they've got in mind. Now, is that going to stop me? No. But I have to then be ready to face the consequences. And I better not have to do it alone. All right. I hope so. Because I would not want to be alone. Amen.